Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
How's the scooter?
Scooter! I know where it's at, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Good wins for Manchester United and Chelsea, and Steve McLaren's back in business. It's Wednesday, 25th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. Woohoo! Andy's smiling. Pete's jiving.
I didn't do my wrestler name. Sorry, everyone. I was going to... Bonesaw Donaldson.
Oh, right. You've moved on from...
which is the character that Macho Man Randy Savage played in the Spider-Man film, I believe.
My goodness. I'm unaware of such things. Yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage. What was it? Paul Bearer you were the other day. Oh, Pete Bearer.
Pete Bearer. In tribute.
Oh, yeah.
To a man who married a woman at 15.
Not Paul Donaldson. Is that too incongruous? Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you're very, very welcome. Before we get going, Between the Lines is another football podcast on Stakhanov, which is well worth your time. Brand new episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy is out today. Melissa sits down with Brighton and England midfielder Adam Lallana, who recently combined very well with Danny Welbeck. And they talked about the experiences that have shaped him as a footballer and a person, from his battles with an irregular heartbeat and ulcerative colitis to the mental toll of injury, as well as all that he has learned from Klopp and Pochettino. If you can forget that... he played under some of those managers. Go and get it now. Search Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy wherever you get your pods. Gentlemen, down to the football. You've got to say, another clean sheet, 9 wins out of 10 this season, a cup final just around the corner. I am talking about the magnificent Gergi Bears.
Why are you bringing them in?
3-0 last night, mate.
Well done.
If that was anybody else, my goodness, they'd be the talk of the tune. But let's move on to the Champions League, because I fear people will get angry with me. Manchester United, 4-1 winners, Andy Brassel. My goodness, they're having a good time in the Champions League. I mean, look, here's an Optostat for you. Brass, get your chops around this. Manchester United have scored 9 goals in their 2 Champions League home games this season, compared to just 3 goals in 5 league games at Old Trafford this season. It's David Moyes-esque.
It's very much David Moyes-esque. And clearly United needed to do something quite positive after the first game at Başakşehir, which they're still getting stick over, even though it was 3 weeks ago now.
If you avoid defeat there, I mean, they're nearly through. They just need 1 point from their final 2 games. But that is a home game against PSG and an away match against RB.
Will they definitely get that?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You know, like
who both need something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why something. It's kind of nicely poised. So I think people were sort of saying to Solskjaer, "Oh, well, you just 1 point for the last two games. You must be quite pleased." And he said, "Well, hang on.
Please don't say that."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know where I want my statue. I don't know why he's Neil Warnock all of a sudden. It's poised. The group is still open. Only the top two go through. They need to get that point, Andy.
It's poised.
They didn't even get that point in Istanbul. But it seemed harsh to kind of go on about this because they did
harsh as well to say that Başakşehir are having Istanbul taken out of their name as a punishment for this performance. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Indeed. But they've been pretty good in the Champions League. Wins against PSG, of course, and RB Leipzig. You know, that's no mean feat. Mm. And last night, Peter Donaldson, 4-1 against Başakşehir. If you're a Manchester United fan, you'd think to yourself, could we just do a little bit of this in the Premier League?
I've kind of felt sorry for Cavani, obviously, making his first start. And just being massively overshadowed with the win and Van der Beek having a good match and stuff like that. I felt really sorry for him.
You don't feel sorry for him for being kicked all over the park?
That as well.
If I was going to feel sorry for him, I think that would probably be it. Mm. as well, he's still not back on penalties.
No.
After Neymar taking him off of Paris Saint-Germain, you're not even second choice here to take penalties.
To be fair, though, Fernandes and Rashford are very competent penalty takers. And Fernandes said he gave it to Rashford because, to get his sort of end scored for a little while or something like that to get his confidence up.
Very selfless.
It was because I think Brazil had a hat-trick at that moment.
Yeah, it was. It was already 2-0.
You see.
Or maybe he just thought, missed a few recently.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Maybe. Ooh, you know, where you hide behind the niceness.
Yeah, I see. Fair enough. We'll come on to Fernandes and Co in a minute, but Cavani, Solskjaer said after the game he's a traditional number nine, you know, and it's quite nice to have that. Would you call him a traditional number nine, Andy?
Well, traditional number nine, if every number nine has got eight lungs, maybe. But I don't know about that. He's someone who's done something to define the centre forward role, really, in recent years. So I don't know about traditional. If you mean bigger than anyone Manchester United have had up front for a bit, and someone who likes to stay in the middle, not that he ever got to do that for a particularly long amount of time at Paris Saint-Germain because he played out left for a fair bit of
it. You feel his pain from his time at Paris Saint-Germain, don't you?
Yeah. But he's quite a persuasive character, I think.
Yeah. Well, when he takes his top off and rides a horse, my goodness, it's Putin-esque.
I remember I did a... That's harsh. I did an interview once with him in Paris for telly, and he turned up like 2.5-3 hours late, something like that. And you're thinking, I'm going to miss my connection, but I'm not going to get home tonight.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to rip his head off. I'm not going to have this. Then, Who do you think you are?
I'm not feeling that pleased. And then he comes in the door and goes, hola. And he just like shakes his head, and you're like, oh, no, Edison.
Can I stay at your house, please?
I'll get a train tomorrow morning.
I'll sleep in the Vogue Street.
What is his house like, though, Andy?
I'm still living there, actually.
Get the inner star back every morning.
Oh, dear. But yes, I mean, but he is an option. He didn't score, of course. But Manchester United, I mean, part of that attacking lineup, they've got great options up there.
Yeah, but I think if we're talking about how United clicked and how United were front foot in this game, I think a lot more of it goes back to Donny van de Beek, who had a really frustrating time since he's arrived. But he was the one who kept the game moving, and he was the one who gave Fernandes the freedom, really, to be what he can be. And I think that's the thing. Like, there was all this talk of, should he have actually come? Should United have bought him? Et cetera, it's kind of a bit awkward that they look so good, Pogba-less.
Yep.
I mean, it's not something that you can necessarily blame Paul Pogba for, but what if they have moved past it? What if they have moved past him being first choice?
Let's be honest.
I mean, clearly, all these guys are going to get a go. If they get where they want to go this season, and if they get deep into the Champions League, they're going to be playing a lot of games, and, you know, there's food for everyone to eat. But if that is quite an awkward prospect, isn't it? If Pogba is not in their best 11.
Well, I think Pogba, he's not clicked really since being back at Manchester United. He's had some great moments, he's had great performances. Mm. My goodness, we know he is unbelievably talented. World Cup winner, for crying out loud.
Do you think he'd be better suited elsewhere, fellas?
Well, I think you look at when he was at Juventus, He fitted in there much better because of the different style of football, different sort of players he had around him at that time. With Manchester United, I think that they have asked him to play in positions which are not his best positions. I think that there's a huge amount of media scrutiny. I think there's just... It's just not quite happened. And I think people are saying, oh, some people are saying, you know, move him on, and then he puts it... To be honest, it's not that dissimilar to the manager. When you have with Solskjaer in there, people think, oh, for crying out loud, it's not quite happening. I mean, it's not bad. He's clearly, you know, there's the odd performance here and there, you know, but it's not good enough.
I have to say, comparing... Saying Pogba is to playing what Solskjaer is to coaching is quite harsh, personally. it's quite harsh.
No, but in terms of performances, in terms of how it's played out, that there's enough there to say it's worth keeping him at the club. But there's not enough there for some people to say it's worth keeping him at the club. He's in that sort of weird zone, if you see what I mean.
For all of the headlines, it's not worth for him to remain at the club. Is that what you're saying? Kind of, yeah, all the stuff that comes along with Paul Pogba as a footballer.
Yes,
in the scrutiny, the media, the stories, that kind of Ozil-esque kind of thing around your neck, where you just have to kind of play him, or at least bloody talk about him when you don't.
Yeah, because I think he's that good
for a manager who's not as hasn't been as successful in his career. He doesn't have that kind of pedigree to fall back on.
Yeah,
he's a new manager. He's underwhelmed in many areas.
But they've also both been given a bit of time as well. I mean, Pogba's been there for a few years now.
But with Pogba, it's because of the investment they've made.
So that's what I was going to say, the investment and the talent he has. And you think, well, surely we've got to find a way to play him. But not every big player is suited at every club with every system.
Van der Beek, anyway.
Yes, I think we should go back to
really good and like a way more versatile footballer than people give him credit for.
Well, I mean, was it Scholes and Hargreaves were just full of praise for him. I mean, if Paul Scholes is full of praise for somebody, my goodness, you know it's a good performance, because he can be rather critical, and fair enough. But the way he kind of kept them going and moving, I mean, he was sort of tucked in there in the midfield with Fred nearby, and then, as you say, it was allowed Fernandes to kind of free up and do his thing. You know, I mean, that surely, if you're Solskjaer, you've got to look at that and think, right, if he's fit and available every week, he's got to be in there.
Well, the bottom line, Pete, it's just about maximising Fernandes, isn't it? I mean, whatever team you're coaching, it's about getting the best out of your best player. And let's be honest, he's United's best player by some distance.
But I think as the game went on, I thought when he put Matic in with Fred, didn't he, at one point, and that kind of spoke to me as like that Van der Beek possibly didn't work as hard at retaining or getting the ball back from the opposition. So there was a little bit of me that thought Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he maybe thinks he doesn't work quite as hard as he could, but he does add a massive other dimension to Manchester United. And it's like you said, it's just distract everyone from Fernandes.
Exactly.
And you'll have a nice time.
What about that Fernandes goal? Come on, what a beauty.
Yeah,
that's one of those ones where even if you were an opposition supporter, you'd think, yeah, that was enjoyable. It was an absolute
I like the way that by the time we got to the second goal, Mert Günok, the Başakşehir goalkeeper, thought, there's no point even trying to save stuff anymore. Yeah. So that's clearly what he did when he got to goal number two.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, it's a good win for Manchester United. Their Champions League form, as we say, has been better. And, you know, the way they're going, they will kind of sneak into the... Well, not sneak, they will go into the knockouts.
Roar triumphantly?
Possibly.
Into the knockouts?
Well, if you know...
Can devils roar?
Yeah, yeah, what noise do devils...
What noise do... I think
it'd be a shriek.
Got...
It'd be a... Yeah,
we're in.
It'd be a dirty laugh or a shriek. Yeah. That's what it would be.
They prop the door up with their trident.
Yes, I think that's what it is. Well, anyway, can they join Chelsea in the knockout rounds? Because the Chelsea are through. They beat Rennes 2-1, of course, away from home. Good goalkeeping performances that we saw in this game. But it was that man, Olivier Giroud, who stole the headlines, Pete Donaldson, with that towering header, which the defender probably thought, oh, yeah, ball's coming down, easy peasy. Oh, no.
Balls. Frank Lampard said Olivier Giroud is only going to get better... Not true. It's only going to get better and we'll get minutes at Chelsea. Also, not true.
Yeah, I was going to say. He's not falling for this, Frank, is he? He wants his move in January.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that ultimate cruelty, really, isn't it? Every time he thinks he's completely cast out.
He'll pull back and have a little patch of minutes and form and goals. Uh-huh. I do think that Olivier Giroud... he's worried about retaining his place on the France side. I'm sorry, if you're France, he's an incredible goal scorer for you. Has he not proved that he is?
Yes.
He could have no game minutes this season in the Premier League or the Champions League and play for France.
Might it actually be advantageous?
Yeah, in a season like this.
Half dead. Giroud is the best player at Euro 2020.
Crazy that they wouldn't give him a match.
I agree, and I think at the tournament he may well take Thierry Henry's record, although we know he doesn't like to score goals in tournaments, though.
No, right, okay.
That would be amazing if he didn't score between now and then for France and then just went on a platinum Euro 84 type tear.
Yeah. What is he, sort of six or seven off Henry, something like that?
Seven
off. Oh. See, that is the ridiculous. He's such an odd one with Giroud.
It's obscene how lately start off.
I know.
In this country.
The thing is, when he's not dissimilar, and I'm going to liken him all the way back to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer again, in that he's so good off the bench, Andy. He's so good off the bench.
Very different countries, though, isn't it?
Very different
Very
countries.
Very different international setup.
No, but like, Solskjaer was Ferguson loved to bring him off the bench. And he was very, very good at that.
But of course,
and there is something about that tactical sub which is something to be applauded. But of course, you don't really take too much heart from that. You think, I'd rather 90 minutes than 30.
And I think the difference is Olivier Giroud is a player who shouldn't be and isn't really defined by his goals. He hasn't been defined by his goals for France ever.
How do you define him?
Which, well, by everything he gives to the team. He's in there because he's a, well, that's definitely part of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone has ever looked better on a camera phone photo than he did when he was caught up to no good in that hotel room.
Do you know
what camera phones weren't then what they are now?
Don't have the filters. Didn't have the filters back then.
Could have done with some.
Yeah, hashtag no filter.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Hashtag, Griezmann, I'm sorry.
Griezmann
hashtag,
looks,
I can't believe you changed the locks already.
Griezmann looks better physically when he's with Giroud.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He looks more beautiful.
Yeah.
He's
Griezmann's got the kind of lovely gazelle-type run. You know, when he sort of trots around the place and Giroud with that face and that leap. But, you know, vital goal for Chelsea, who really should have put the game away before then. I think it was a bit of a relief for old Chelsea, you know. And it's funny to see when Thiago Silva gets it slightly wrong in that corner, Andy, when the ball was whipped in and it went over his head and the man he was meant to be marking scored. And you were like, oh, dear. You're meant to be the one who stops that sort of thing.
I think it is immensely complicated when, you know, you're responsible for speaking French in the back line.
Mm.
Just because, you know, of course, he's a French citizen now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I mean, he was at PSG for a while, of course. But it was, you know, decent performance from Chelsea, even though the result, you know, suggested that they just scraped it, but of course they didn't. But it was nice to see Callum Hudson-Odoi, Peter, get the opening goal because he's sort of been in and outside. Obviously, had that sort of big injury, but we've seen him play in an England shirt as well. The man has got talent.
Well, that's the bar, isn't it?
Indeed, it is.
Pulling on the white.
Yeah, so good to see him score. But Chelsea are through to the knockout rounds. I mean, what do you think of Chelsea at the moment, Andy? We're at the stage of the season where we can sort of cast a few more aspersions now. Defensively, despite that goal, they are obviously better. Much has been said about that.
Much better.
It's an away win in the Champions League. They, you know, if Vernon normally would have scored at least one, maybe two goals.
Well, it's that big one at the beginning that you missed, wasn't
it? Of course, yeah. So, but Vernon's played very well since he's come to Chelsea. So that's a bit of a blip. You get those results. I mean, Juventus only scraped a 2-1 home win against Ferencvaros, you know, last night as well. But what do you think of Chelsea? Can they go deep in the Champions League? Do you think they can?
I do, because I think if you look at them compared to United, and United seem to get that extra liberty from the Champions League, I think Chelsea, you're seeing so much evidence of their intrinsic talent so far. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's going to take a while, I think, to come together. But even in the second half of this, they were under the pump for a bit. And I thought generally, give or take that set piece, where they would have been disappointed to concede the goal. And I thought Guirassy deserved to score because he had a good game.
Should they have to play Thiago Silva in these matches, though?
No, probably not. But I tend to think that it's a learning experience for... I spoke about this right at the start of the season, but for the centre-backs he's playing for. Because you think of players like Zouma, Christensen, who were expected to be better than they actually are at this age. Mm-hmm. That's why Thiago Silva's so good, not just in himself, but if they're getting a bit of on-pitch coaching from him, it's going to really make the most of all those other assets of the club that should be worth more to the team and more financially than they actually are. And I think you look at this, they're under the pump for a bit in the second half. I thought Rennes were really good and didn't give up, particularly in that second half. And then you look at the game at Krasnodar, where they won 4-0, and that was never a 4-0 game. Mm. But they've just got that extra little bit of punch that if they can defend properly, they're definitely a team who can win this Champions League. Because
win the Champions League?
Yeah, totally. Because if you look at it, the variety of attacking talent they've got, the key is to... If you don't have to play well to win games, you've got a massive advantage in any form of
knockout
football.
You've got firepower at every aspect of it. And concentrate on one player, you switch off against another and they're in.
Mm. Exactly. If they can just defend smartly, which was the problem at the start of the season, then... You know, that is something that not a lot of Champions League teams can do.
Yeah, is that Lampard's strength or setting that up?
Maybe.
Is the question.
It'd be quite the move, though, for Thiago Silva at the age of 36 going to, you know, leaving Paris Saint-Germain and then he won the Champions League.
Would that be the ultimate troll?
I think it would be.
Although you're talking about Juventus versus Ferencvaros last night. Did you see Uzuni, the Albanian striker who scored that opening goal in that and then did the Cristiano Ronaldo celebration?
Yeah, that was nice.
In his manner.
That was very nice. Yeah, they were unlucky, Ferencvaros, the goalkeeper. He had a great performance there, De Boer or whatever his name is. And Alvaro Morata.
Sort of, he played like a De Boer manager.
Yeah, he did. When Alvaro Morata scored, I just instinctively thought, don't worry, lads, it'll be flagged offside or something like that. But regrettably not. Last night, gentlemen, there were some fixtures in the Championship, of course. There were wins for Norwich and Bournemouth, who are in those top two places in the championships. They're doing very well, those sides. You know, they obviously got relegated and fair play to them. Derby County did not play last night because they were celebrating the return of Steve McLaren. They said, postpone the match. Yeah. We've got something more important on. Yeah, McLaren rejoined as a technical director and advisor.
Yeah, who was before? It was you, wasn't it, Andy? You went, he's only 59. He's only 59.
That was a bit disrespectful.
Why is it disrespectful?
I think it's more a tribute to the fact that he's done so much in his career.
Longevity,
Marcus.
Mate.
Longevity.
When was his little talking in foreign?
We like Steve. Steve was sexy.
That feels like 20 years ago, Marcus.
Yeah, that was...
And when we talk about longevity and being disrespectful, I actually remember him as a player. So that makes me feel quite old. Yeah, he played for Derby.
Do you know, I don't think of Steve McLaren as a player.
It's funny because nor do I normally, of course, because we define him by England and Middlesbrough. But I remember I did. Yeah, sure.
Come on.
Absolutely. He was very important there as assistant.
Queen's
wasn't
Park
he?
Rangers, FC 20. Let's go around
stop
the
there. No, stop there, Marcus, please.
This happens on Fridays, not on Wednesdays, Marcus. But I remember working on television with him some years ago, and he's a nice guy, really good company.
I was
with a friend the night before who is a big Hull City fan, my friend Pete, and he said to me, you're working with McLaren tomorrow, Hull City legend, because he remembered him. He was one of the first players he remembered in the 80s, and McLaren was very, very good midfielder for them. And I was telling him about it the next day. I was like, I told my mate I was working with you, and he said Hull City legend, and McLaren sort of cracked his fingers, sat back in his chair, and went, Hull City legend.
That's nice.
It must sound good. It must sound good.
Yeah. Newcastle fans, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the consortiums that are taking over Derby.
Yes.
Were in the frame for Newcastle. Mm. Apparently, possibly, probably not. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're going, bullet dodged. McLaren back.
Oh, poor old McClazza. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a quick break. See you in a moment.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role,
like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
One Direction's Liam Payne was in the studio talking to Jackmate's Happy Hour about life as a global pop star. With untold stories about his time on The X Factor, life in the world's biggest boy band and going solo, this one is not to miss.
I was part of this massive machine and I knew my part in the machine very well. So I knew what I was doing every day. But then when that machine falls away and you're in the world and the world's just happening around, like, where do you fit?
You can catch the full episode on Spotify. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, on this week's Football Ramble Presents, Kate and Jim sat down with former Chelsea, Juventus and England striker and football legend Enya Luko to discuss her storied career and her autobiography, They Don't Teach This.
Whether it's racism, whether it's bullying, whether it's sexism, often these behaviours are silent. They're not always something that's said. It's a feeling, it's a set of behaviours by a group of people towards you that makes you feel incredibly isolated.
You can hear more from Enya Luko with Football Ramble Presents on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
Always believe in your soul.
I said, no, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it. Carlton, go.
Nice to hear that again,
Glow.
Isn't it?
I'm convinced that's Luke. I'm absolutely convinced that's Luke.
Oh, don't say that to him. Do not say that. But welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Football Ramble. Now it's time for your emails. Oh, yeah.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
I've got an email, and I am going to read it.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go on then.
Well, I'm not. Yes, if you want to get to your show, footballramble.com is the way to do it. We got an email from Andrew Franklet, like a normal Frank, but a bit smaller. Hello, Ramble. First of all, huge fan of the show. My friends and I are well entertained while doing our mind-numbing work picking apples. Much appreciated. Mm. Very wholesome pursuit, isn't
yeah,
it?
Indeed. Does he do with the apples?
He throws them at an orphanage. Which brings me to why I'm writing to you today. It's very terrible, man. It's awful, frankly. One of the other things we do to fill the day at the orchard is to try to do keep your peace with the apples themselves. At this point, my friend Ben has the record at a whopping 47 juggles.
No,
using only legal body parts and an unripe royal gala.
Legal? What? I suppose the illegal body
yeah,
parts.
Yeah,
I suppose a hand would be. That is very impressive.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah,
that is
very
genuinely
good.
47.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Does he do?
Does he do weddings?
Does he do halftime shows? Does he do like...
Is he free to be the next manager of Fulham?
All right, Andy. Still got one.
Yeah, he did it in his garden.
Uh-huh.
That's how he got the job. Yeah. Showed him that video. Yeah, so 47 jugglers using a Royal Gala. This trend set off my intrigue to see what some of the actual football juggling records were. Mm. And here are some of my favourites. Juggling a table tennis ball with feet. Dr. Jan Skogvorsky. No, I'm going to say that again. Skorkovsky.
Tricky one.
3,332 kicks.
Blimey.
Mm. I mean,
just one more. That would have been lovely. Do it again, you knobhead.
Longest distance driven in a car with an open roof while heading the ball.
That's naughty. He's the only person to do that. So whatever his score, I mean, look, 7.1 kilometres, that's impressive.
I mean, I'm hoping it's on a racetrack or something, crying out loud.
Don't do that.
Again, Magushi, that's in Kosovo, 7.1 kilometres.
I mean, the plus is it doesn't say the late Agim
Magushi. Keeping a soccer ball airborne while climbing up a ladder, Paul Sarli climbed 111 steps.
There you go, 1-1-1, lovely.
Where do you get a ladder that's got 111 steps? That's all I don't know.
Up and down, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. That's right, a good point. Long distance driven as a driver on a moving motorbike while bouncing the ball on the head. Manoj Mishra in India drove from Odisha to Pichabani in 30 kilometres.
That is
with the ball balanced on his head.
I've never been to India, but I hear the roads can be quite bumpy, so that's particularly impressive.
You wouldn't want to go through a cross section with a ball on your head, would you?
Yeah,
really?
That is very impressive.
Andrew, thank you very much for your email. If anyone's got any more awfully dangerous records that are football related, we'd love to hear. shortfootramble.com.
I mean, we do say that he could have made all that up.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't think he has.
I don't pick the emails. It's all up to Charlie, all right?
Andrew,
so any error checking should be him.
Even if you have made them up, Andrew, we still appreciate the effort you have gone to making them up.
You could have made that doctor's name a little easier for me to read. That's all I'm saying.
We have actually done him a disservice, but he did give us the source for those for those stats. So only joking, Andrew Frankie baby. Genuinely very impressive, that.
Yeah, enjoyable.
That's made my Wednesday.
Good.
My goodness. Gentlemen, Finding Jack Charlton, the documentary is available now on various platforms. I actually haven't watched it yet, but I'm sort of very much looking forward to doing so, because when I saw the trailer for it, I was just like, oh my goodness, you know, this looks sort of quite epic. But you've seen it, chaps, haven't you, Andy?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was quite breathtaking, really, because for those who aren't aware of the concept behind it, it's really about his time in charge of the Republic of Ireland, his near decade in charge of the Republic of Ireland. And obviously there are a lot of high points in that, but it's spliced with footage of him today. Now, I think when they started to do the documentary, the idea was that they would sit down and talk to him about his memories. But once they started researching it, and it's Gabriel Clark, actually, who's one of the people behind it, and he's done a brilliant job, it quickly became clear that Jack wasn't quite in the state to do that, because his dementia, unfortunately, had advanced to quite a stage at that point. So it's spliced with bits of him in, I guess, the last year of his life, because he obviously passed quite recently. And so it gives, I guess, an extra poignancy to all those moments. And you forget, like, what just incredible character he was. And actually, what an incredibly underrated coach he was as well. I think it's Niall Quinn that points out during the film that what he got Ireland to do off the ball.
Yep.
Is something that every team does now, but no team did then. Well, I guess Jack wouldn't have called gegenpressing, essentially.
But I think his sort of no nonsense approach, and he was quite sort of direct in his words and so on.
Yes,
you can sort of think he's maybe a bit more sort of, in a footballing sense, a bit more uncultured than what he was. But he spoke in like the 90s, you know, about how the fullbacks were the most important position on the pitch, you know, space in front of them. And yes, in Brazil, they might have already figured that out, or they might have already been sort of doing that. But over here, you know, that was quite a new thing as well. But Pete, you saw the documentary.
Yeah, I watched it this morning on the way in. I mean, it's a film about loss, I think, in many ways. I know attitudes have changed, obviously, about mental ill health, but watching someone with such fierce charisma and presence and such an intellect lose all of that, it's viscerally upsetting. It's astonishingly kind of sad. And not necessarily for him, but certainly his family who are around him. And I think some of the most interesting parts were his relationships with his brother and, mm-hmm. and how we've got a very basic idea as how a brotherly kind of dynamic should work, especially mm-hmm. when they do almost identical jobs. But, you know, he'd clearly been hunting or something, and there's a scene where he gives his brother a hare and a pheasant, and he tells him, "Just fucking strip that or whatever." Blah, blah, blah. And
that's amazing. That's when they first face each other as managers, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he like opens the back of his car, and you think he's going to give him like a beer or a crate of beers, and he gives him a couple of dead animals.
and it's a handshake, and they're just off, and it's kind of like a lot. You know,
very different characters.
The lack of closeness between the two is really interesting, because that sort of depiction isn't, you don't see that very often.
No.
We have an idea that brothers have to be friends because they do the same job, and they just weren't. And a man who gave a country, who, you know, we remember what the you know, what the late 80s were like in Ireland and stuff, and remember how bad it was, and when a club or a national side finds someone who just gets it, and it gets the place and gets the people, and it's just so intoxicating, frequently intoxicating when it came to the Romania shootout and stuff.
Like
you forget, Paddy Bonner looks good. Pat Bonner looks brilliant.
Does he?
He looks he looks really well.
He looks as if he could still play pretty much.
I mean, I'll watch anything with Paul McGrath, and I think he's got such an interesting story, and I think the most beautiful voice in world football. Mm. I think his voice is stunning.
He does. Yeah.
And for me, that was my first tournament, Ireland at World Cup 94, and seeing, you know, the stories behind the stuff, incredibly interesting. Like Ray Outon lobbing Paliuka pretty much.
Yeah.
It was just, I was like, wow. And seeing Paul McGrath play football in that match was just like having Badgie on his pocket pretty much all the way through. It's just like, I presume that's how defenders always play.
Yeah.
It was just something else. So yeah, a wonderful film and beautiful story about a man who will be a big loss.
I mean, Pete talked about there about loss, but I think it's actually a bit more than that, because I think especially when we look at dementia, and anyone who's had experience of that amongst their friendship group or in their family will know, it is such a cruel disease. And I think it would be easy to say, to look at the film and say, well, you know, it's tragic that he can't remember any of these moments. But the fact is that I think it goes to show that your life is more than it ends up.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that is taken from you at the end, even if you personally don't have the memories anymore, other people have those memories of you. Other people, you know, your story is still written and those moments still happened and you still weighed in and you still affected the lives of those people. And no matter how severe the disease, and obviously it's something we're talking about a lot at the moment, especially with the brilliant campaign that Chris Sutton's doing. And, you know, I think that it is something quite hard to rationalise. I was sat next to Chris Sutton on BT Score when he gave that speech recently about how it had affected his family and other families, and it was a very emotional moment, and everyone in the studio needed to Daryl Curry very smartly went to a break afterwards, and because everyone needed to take a deep breath. It was one of those moments where, you know, there was nothing more to be said. No one said anything afterwards, really, because Chris had said it all. But I think it does go to show that however difficult that is, however severe the disease is, however hard it is on the families, it can't take everything you've done, because everything you've done mattered.
Well, look at his legacy. I mean, he has a legacy in England. He won the World Cup, of course, but in Ireland, for an Englishman to have that legacy,
especially in that time,
especially as Pete said in the 80s and
but
so on.
It's not just what's on paper, like the World Cup quarterfinal or getting Ireland to their first major championship. It's about the way related to people, and they show you so much of that in the film, and that straightness that you were talking about. You know, that just no nonsense attitude. I think that was part of it.
But they loved it in Ireland.
It made it far easier for him to relate to people. And as people say, his charisma is just Yeah. Incredible.
And also kind of, I think it was the bloke out of U2, weirdly. I think he was talking about how... Adam something out of U2. I can't forget his name. But he was sort of saying that at that time, like Ireland, you know, their kind of identity was kind of packaged up and sold on, like mm-hmm. the river dance and stuff like that. This gave a more kind of honest account mm-hmm. of what Ireland was, hardworking, mm-hmm. Honest and expressive, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But also as well, we've seen people use football for political gain in elsewhere in the world and blah, 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 blah. But there is something that if you compete well on the sports field, we've seen this loads of times, that you can... And put your status up a little bit, or you can broaden other people's horizons and how they see you, if you see what I mean. Mm. And Markey wins, you know, England at Euro 88, you know, what a moment that was for Ireland. You know, you mentioned Italy as well, World Cup 90, you know, these moments, they put Ireland on the world stage, you know, and it was incredible. I'm very much looking forward to see it. And I'm sure you are too, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't watch it on a hangover at all.
Right, Peter, what have you got for us now?
I've got a game.
Oh, have you?
I've got a game. Andy, as you already know, I cherish the days where the stars align and I get to work with you. But we could possibly fall out over this one.
Okay.
I've made a game for you, and only you, to play. And it's
so you can't win this one, Marcus.
Competitive Marcus has to hide for a little while. It's called this.
I prefer to kill him.
Portmantonio Conte. The game is called Portmantonio Conte, and the rules are very simple, right?
Right.
I've got two clues pertaining to two footballers whose names have been joined together. You just need to guess who they are and give us the new name, all right? I'm going to give you an example.
Right.
In 2008, I was banned from driving after being caught driving 6 miles over the speed limit after a stressful meeting with Mike Ashley. I was also shot and killed by a bodyguard from a Colombian drug cartel. Kevin Keegan Dres Escobar. Right? Philippe Albert T. Vaux. Heung-min Sonny Pike. That sort of thing.
Yes.
So two players stuck together.
What was the Keegan Escobar one?
What? I was banned from driving after being caught driving 6. Kevin Keegan Dres Escobar.
God, bet.
I'm surprised he has not caught attention of it.
I was about to say, Keegan could probably fit all that.
blatant vowel abuse.
I know. Right, do you understand how this works?
I think
two
so.
Two players becoming one.
Yes. I'm ready.
I'm not going to repeat the clues. I'm not going to give you further clues. Your time starts as soon as I finish talking. And when you hear Kevin De Bruyne,
I'm ready.
Your time is over. Are we
right.
clear?
Right.
Okay. I once played for Wales and Bayern Munich in the same day. I was signed by Glenn Hoddle from a team originally called Berliner Tennis und Ping Pong Gesellschaft Borussia. Start the clock. Two seconds.
I'm ready.
Go.
Mark Hugh Stefan Freund.
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
That's incorrect, Mark Hugo Rosler. Oh! No. Andy Brassel.
Did you get half a point?
No, that's not how this game works. That's 50% wrong.
It's not half a name.
Very unlucky, Andy. I'm looking forward to our next edition of that.
Not as much as I am.
Oh, I'm so glad I can't play it.
That was Portmantonio intro. But
I prefer to kill him.
I said Portmantonio intro because that's what I wrote down as the cartwheel. If you did hear a recent episode of the IGN UK podcast, they've done that a couple of times, but they borrowed Go for Glold for a little while. So,
bollocks to them then.
If you send one of ours to the hospital, one of theirs go to the morgue.
If you use one of our features for a couple of weeks, we'll use one of yours for a couple of months. Oh, wonderful stuff there from our very own PTD. Chaps, a couple of bits and pieces from the Champions League last night, just to clear up. Club Brugge, or Club Brugge, as it's actually pronounced, Andy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they lost 3-0 last night to Borussia Dortmund. The news that Emmanuel Dennis missed the game for disciplinary reasons. According to reports, he angrily got off the team bus when he could not sit in his favourite seat.
I like it.
Pete Donaldson-esque.
I'll bring you on seat.
I think, you know, you look at when you're at a Club Brugge sort of level, copying the greats, it makes me think of, you know, William Gallas, Samir Nasri, Thierry Henry.
God, what was the Gallas?
Samir Nasri sat in William Gallas's seat.
Did he?
On the bus, and they had quite a fallout over it.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, what was the Thierry Henry one? Was he angry? Sitting there?
Well, he just looks disapprovingly on.
Oh, I see.
I just think that if you are, you're creating a rough for your own back there a little bit, if not a seat. Because what if the bus has to be replaced at short notice? You get a different seat on a different bus. Is it just that model of bus? I want to see VIN numbers. I want to see engine numbers.
Yeah. Do you know Thierry Henry apparently has the 14th most valuable signature for footballers and ex-footballers?
Oh, what, and like resale kind of memorabilia, right?
Exactly, yeah. There was so apparently a big study there.
He only signs cars, though. It's part of his contract.
Only 14th?
Yeah, he only signs houses in the London area.
This time next year, Olivier Giroud will be 13.
Number one.
Who?
Sergio Aguero.
Oh, that's interesting.
Quite far out in number one, £1,300. Second, David Beckham.
I can understand that.
A penny shy of a grand.
Mm. He's on the front cover of the new FIFA, isn't he? They've released a special edition with Beckham on the
Is
front
that right?
cover. Yeah, and now I think Zlatan and also
Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale
not happy.
Got upset about their likeness because of FIFA Pro, I think, sell a license on. And they've just realised after their entire adult lives. What?
I did think to myself, was Gareth Bale being sarcastic in that tweet? It's like, you do know. You've probably played it before.
Probably put his body spot in.
Yeah, that's what it is. Neither of them in the top 20. Aubameyang's third. George Best is still there, fourth. What I like about this, you've just got, Maradona and Messi.
You'd think the dead players would be more valuable because you're never going to get more signed, are you?
Yeah, I see what you mean. But yeah, Pele's obviously in there, and there's a few like Kevin De Bruyne is just one place below Pele. What I love though, in 17th place, one behind Paolo Maldini and one in front of Ronaldinho and two in front of Neymar, Trent Alexander-Arnold. What's he been signing?
Wow.
Hey, how about
gold
that?
Gold bars.
Indeed, yeah. Anyway, sorry about that. Back to the Champions League. So, yes, Emmanuel Dennis, he's not happy. Do you know much about Dennis Andy? Is he a bit of a sausage?
He's been pretty good for them.
Yeah, he has. He scored at the Bernabeu last...
two of the most fortunate goals you'll ever see anyone score at the Bernabeu.
I'm going to dispute that. The first one, yes. The second one, he nearly sort of trips over, but it's a lovely finish.
It is a lovely finish, but it's fortunate that he got in the position to make that lovely finish because he essentially tripped over the ball to set up the chance.
I make your own mind.
There's no disagreeing with that because that's what actually happened.
No, he's played through and he runs on. He doesn't actually touch the ball when he trips. He nearly trips. I think he shows a good bit of balance there on his feet.
Look, I never said he wasn't a good player, but they're two fortunate goals.
Well, just don't sit in his seat next time, Andy. And also, Artem Dzyuba scored for Zenit against Lazio. They lost 3-1. Now, why do we bring him up, ladies and gentlemen? I hear you cry. Well, it wasn't that long ago that Dzyuba, of course, it's nice to go back a few weeks ago when his name came up today, because he obviously got in a little bit of bother because he was seen, was it a webcam?
His phone was hacked.
Right, okay. And he was having a little pleasury time and he got seen doing that.
He got seen doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if his phone gets hacked,
Yeah.
Luke's got loads of pictures of me in the buff on his phone. He's got a little folder. It's just dedicated to me.
And he's going to release them.
He's going to release
one a week for the next 18 weeks.
What we have to draw from this, Pete, is as long as they're not animated, it's fine.
What do you mean? As in, like, as long as it's not a video?
Yeah.
Oh, what? So you wouldn't mind looking at a picture of me indulging in the act of onanism, a celebrated pastime of many a gentleman.
I thought you were going to say a celebrated former radio DJ.
As long as it's a JPEG, but as soon as that GIF starts GIFing.
Yeah. As soon as there's motion,
motion in the ocean.
I'm out. And here's why I'm out.
If anything,
exactly.
If anything, with a low shutter speed, you're going to see less.
Yeah.
If it's moving up and down, that's all I'm saying.
At Football Ramble on Twitter. Just keep your eyes peeled.
Would you rather
that.
Look at me still or moving?
Well, you haven't...
Still or moving? Like an audition. First or second? First or second?
You haven't given me a choice today, have you? But the reason why we mentioned Dzyuba was, of course, that he was then dropped from the Russia squad after that naughty video of him did the rounds.
Which is ludicrous, by the way.
I kind of missed the story the first time, and you fucking know I'd love it, I'm afraid. So I have to ask, why was he dropped?
Well, the Russian team...
Can I be dropped? Asking for a friend.
My goodness, you've tried if this is the case, haven't you?
The Russian Federation statement said to avoid any further stress, which presumably he was trying to do in the first place while recording that video, we think it would be better to remove him from the team at the moment.
Right.
And Zenit kept him in the team because, well, they would, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. But they removed the captaincy from him for a while and gave it to... Safe pair of hands, Dejan Lovren.
Yes, exactly. Right. But I heard, Andy, that he's obviously a striker. He scored a few goals, but they're just not happy with his finishing at the moment.
See, that's worse than anything I've said in the last 5 minutes.
Is it really?
I would put the captain's armband further down the arm. Abrasive, that's all I'm saying.
Well, he does have people...
Don't give him time off. He's only going to do it more.
I was going to say, don't do that.
But it's remarkable, isn't it? I mean... Everyone does it.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm doing it now.
It's like saying
a very successful Andy game.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I must sort of say that not everybody is angry with you, but there was Podeba, the Russian the Russian airline had a flight from a few weeks ago, and apparently the pilots were very, very clever because they managed to manoeuvre the plane in such a way that they drew a knob in the sky with the flight path. Of
I
the
mean,
plane.
I hope that was a cargo plane rather than a passenger jet.
just cock or cock and balls?
I'd imagine it would have to be balls as well, because to get the whole
pubis
thing.
Buffman's Bridge.
I don't think you could do that with a plane, could you? Because it's got to be in one line, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So to go back and do
you'd have to invert completely, go back the way you came, and then kind of to do an individual pubis.
Yeah, don't do that.
Perforated
yeah.
dots out the front.
That would be impressive, but it was apparently to believe it was to show support for Zuba. Yeah, the flight was delayed 20 minutes because
I hope those pilots never fly again.
I hope we never speak of this again. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow's show, Kate, Jim and Andy are back to entertain you for a thrilling Thursday, no doubt. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Andy Brass.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pete Donald.
Ta-ta.
See you tomorrow if you're Kate, Jim and Andy.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.